Good to see everybody tonight. Hope you've had a good afternoon. This morning we began looking at God as the model father for all of us fathers to emulate. But I also said that this isn't just a lesson for fathers. There are obviously things for all parents, mothers included, and grandparents to think about here. But it's also a lesson for all of us in the sense that we're looking at God. And there's some important things for us to learn about God and His relationship with us as we think about these things. So think about the things that we're studying and see how they apply to us and see how they can motivate us to serve Him and to love Him as we should. We looked at the fact this morning that we need to view children the way that God does. God views children as blessings to treasure. He said that we should look, in Psalm 127, we should look at children as gifts and blessings that He has given us. And He tells us this because He views us as a gift, as a blessing to enjoy. I don't think passages like Luke chapter 12, verses 6 and 7 would be there if that wasn't the case. The fact that He knows every hair on our head, He cares about us deeply. And we need to view our children that way. They're not a burden, but they are something to bring us great joy in our life. We said we need to love like God loves this morning. And this is where we spent most of our time this morning. And we looked at four different ways. Love is spending time with our kids as God spends time getting to know us and being with us. Love is being a refuge and strength for our kids. Being there, letting them cry to us, but helping them through the times of need. Love is disciplining when necessary. We saw how David said in Psalm 139 that it was a comfort that God's presence was always there. But Job said for the person of iniquity, it's a scary thing to think that God is always there. Because we know that God will never condone iniquity. He will never overlook sin, and our kids need to know that about us as well. And they also need to know that we will discipline them when they do things wrong because we want to teach them, we want to train them to be better people and servants of God. And love is sacrifice, and God sacrificed a great deal for us. And our children recognize that we love them when we sacrifice things to provide for them and to do things for them. And we also teach them about service when we do that. Well, kind of connected with the idea of love being sacrificed, I want to talk as a separate point that God provides for His children's needs, and we need to do the same as godly fathers. In Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 32, Jesus talks about the fact that God knows about our needs and God provides for our needs. Matthew 6, beginning in verse 25. For this reason I say to you, do not be worried about your life, as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And who of you, by being worried, can add a single hour to his life? And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will He not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Do not worry then, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. And so the point that He's trying to make here is that God provides. You can look at the creation around us, and He's designed the world so that our needs and the needs of all His creatures are met in the way that He designed it. And so God provides for the physical needs of His people. But there's a more important point in this text that we need to understand. Back up to verse 25 and think about what He means here. For this reason, I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Yes, he goes on to say, God will clothe you, God will provide for your needs. But his main point here is that life is more than these physical things, more than these physical needs. If you go on further, he says, verse 27, why worry doesn't do you anything. Why are you worried about these things? And everything climaxes in verse 33, where he says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Seek the reign of God in your life first and foremost. Don't worry about the physical things. And yes, God has provided things for us, but first and foremost, God is concerned with our spiritual needs. Seek his kingdom first. So if we're talking about we want to be fathers like God is a father, then we need to put the spiritual needs of our kids above anything and everything else. If we can't give them anything, let's give them Jesus. Let's give them God. You remember in Luke chapter 10, Mary and Martha were with Jesus. He was in their house, and Mary's sitting there listening to Jesus, and Martha, she's busy. She's getting food ready and all these things. And Master, make my sister help me. And Jesus, he just says, Martha, Martha, you are troubled about many things. But he said, this is such an important statement that sometimes we look over. Only one thing. Only one thing is necessary. From Jesus' perspective, food is not necessary. Clothing is not necessary. Nothing in this life is necessary except for God. Jesus said one thing is necessary. Yes, we need to try to provide our kids all of these things. But if we can't provide them anything, let's provide them with God, with the spiritual teaching and training that they need. We need to put our kids' spiritual needs first. And there's a lot of practical application that goes into that. But first, I want you to think about another passage that talks about training kids, Proverbs 22 and verse 6. Train your kids up in the way that they should go, and when they are old, they will not depart from it. What does that mean? You know, some people look at that passage and they say, but I took my kids to Bible class the whole time they were growing up. And look at where they are now. They left the faith. Or I made sure that my kids got to vacation Bible school. Or I took them to a gospel meeting every now and then. All those are good things. And all those are things that we definitely should be doing for our kids. But that is not the end of it. That is not training them up. Proverbs 22:6 is a message to parents. And the message is, parents, train up your children. It is good to have other people that can help us with these things. Bible class teachers and things like that. But parents need to have an active role in teaching their kids the Bible. Ephesians 6 and verse 4 says, fathers, train up your children in the discipline, in the admonition of the Lord. Fathers, you need to be doing that. You need to be sitting down with your kids with an open Bible and teaching them the Bible stories. You need to be telling them these are real stories that happened. People that put their trust in God. And telling your kids that you try to do that. And they need to be trying to do that. Deuteronomy 6 verses 7 through 9. Of course is in the law of Moses. But it's a principle that applies to parents today too. He said that when you arise up. When you lay down. Teach your kids about God. When you're going about the way, teach your kids about God. But everything about your life. Your kids need to see the focus is God. He is the focus of everything. Training up our kids in the way that they should go is not simply taking them to Bible class, but it's us taking an active role in their spiritual training. We must always be looking when they rise up, when they lay down. Can we make some spiritual application of the things that we're doing? When we're in the car, when we're in the store, when we see other people. Maybe you see somebody dressed, you know, sometimes we try to teach Hannah, you know, why certain people dress differently and what we believe is right according to the scriptures. And she'll see somebody and she said, they're almost naked, you know. And we're, you know, she says it louder than that. And we're like, you know, hold on, you know. And so we try to talk to her about that and why some people choose to do that. There's all kinds of opportunities when you go to Walmart to teach your kids about God and about what's right. And if we're going to provide for our kids' most important need, their spiritual need, we've got to be training them daily and taking an active role as parents, as grandparents. And if you're a Bible class teacher, you people are putting their kids in your hands. Use that time wisely. And so we need to be providing for our kids' needs, their physical needs certainly, but more importantly, their spiritual needs. If we want to be fathers like God is a father, we need to protect our kids from evil. Evil exists, and your children will inevitably be exposed to it. But they shouldn't be exposed to it at home. I don't mean protect them from evil by trying to keep them hide them, try to block them. You know, there's no such thing as evil out in the world. No, we need to tell our kids that there's evil in the world. We need to tell our kids that there is people that will hurt them. There is people that will try to take advantage of them. We need to teach them the right way that they should go and how they should respond to people and things like that. We can't just guard our children from never knowing about evil, because when they get out in the world, they're going to face it and not know what to do with it. And so that's part of the spiritual training. But what I mean by protect them from evil is we should give them a place, our home. When they're around the family, it should be a place, a refuge from the evil and wickedness that's in this world. And you know, God does the very same thing. 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 6. As Paul is instructing the church at Corinth, he's giving them instruction by inspiration of the Lord of how God wants His house, His family to be. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. In verse 6, your boasting is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump of dough? Sin is symbolized as leaven in bread here. And then in verse 11, but actually I wrote to you not to associate with any so-called brother if he is an immoral person or covetous or an idolater or a reviler or a drunkard or a swindler, not even to eat with such a one. What was God concerned about? God was concerned about wickedness among the church, evil in the church that was going to influence other Christians. And He said, remove them from among your midst. Remove the wickedness out of the house so that it doesn't influence my other children. God doesn't allow evil in His house. And we should follow His example and not allow evil in our house either. I want you to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. This is the passage that we referred to earlier where He talks about teaching our children as they rise up, as they lie down, as they go about the way. I want you to look at the passage that leads into this section. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 5. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. These words I'm commanding you, verse 7, you shall teach them to your sons, to your children. So this idea about teaching your children begins by God saying, you love God with everything you have, What that tells me is I cannot properly train my children unless God is first in my heart. And my home is not going to be a refuge from evil if God is not first in my heart. It is a sad thing that I have had young people tell me about things in their home, TV programs and movies that their parents were watching, and the children have told me, why is my dad watching this? Why are my parents doing this when I know it's not what God wants them to do? That's a sad thing when the kids recognize it and the parents ignore it. It should be, our home should be a refuge from evil. It should be the one place that they can go and not hear dirty words. It should be the one place they can go and know they don't have to cover their eyes. It should be the one place that they can go and find love instead of hatred and evil and murdering and killing and all the kinds of things that we entertain ourselves with today. I'm not saying this to you. I'm not pointing a finger at you that I haven't had to point at myself. And I've told you in years past, and it's a constant process in our house, getting rid of movies that are full of killing and hatred and evil, and that influence us. Getting rid of music that has evil messages, and turning off the TV, changing the channel when it's filling our house with things that God says is not right. Ephesians 5, verses 1 through 4 is a good place to look at a description of what a Christian should be, is what it's in its original context, but obviously what a Christian should be should describe the Christian's home. Ephesians 5, verses 1 through 4. Therefore, be imitators of God. Isn't that what we're talking about today? Imitators of God as beloved children. And walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. But immorality or any impurity or greed must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. There must be no filthiness and silly talk or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. Are the things that are in our home things that promote thankfulness and love and kindness, or things that promote evil? We need to be protecting our kids from evil. If we want to be a father, as God is a father, we want to teach our children to be servants. Stephanus is a great example in the New Testament of one who did this as a father. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 16. Sometimes we overlook these little mentionings of names at the end of Paul's letters, but there's some important lessons that Paul offers in some of these. 1 Corinthians 16, 16. He's talking about Stephanus' family. We'll read verse 15 in a minute. But he said, you also being subjected to such men as Stephanus, to everyone who helps in the works and labors. And so Paul describes Stephanus as someone that helps, someone that serves in the works and labors of the church. And back up to verse 15. Now I urge you, brethren, you know the household of Stephanus, that they were the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have devoted themselves for ministry to the saints. It's not just Stephanus. Stephanus was the leading example for his household. The household of Stephanus, all of them are described as people devoted to the ministry, to the service of the saints. What a compliment by the Apostle Paul to say, here's a father, here's a man that has led his household to be servants of God's people. But I want you to flip over to Philippians chapter 2. Why did Stephanus do this? Why was he motivated to lead his family to become servants? Because he first saw service in the life of his Lord. Jesus Christ was the greatest servant that ever lived. And this servant was the Son of God. Philippians 2 and verse 5. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped. In other words, when it came down time to whether he was going to go through with this plan to give his life for us, he did not think about himself. He did not say, I'm God, I don't have to do this. He said, I love those people. He said, I want them to be saved, and I'm going to go down there and I'm going to do this. He did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave and being made in the likeness of men, being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Not only did he die, he came here, he lived a lowly life, and he died, but he says even death on a cross. And to someone in the first century, they knew what Paul meant when he said even death on the cross. Because in the Roman Empire, a death by crucifixion was the most shameful and painful thing anyone could experience. It said, look at this person. He is the most despicable and worthless creature in the empire. And the Son of God came down, took the appearance of a man. He became a servant, and he died the most shameful death. That is service. And we are called to have the same attitude that he had in verse 3. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. Talking about being a father like God. God the Father sent Jesus Christ, God the Son. They both show attitudes of service when they had every right to say, I don't have to do this. And so we need to show our children an attitude as fathers. It's not about what I have to do. It's about being a servant. It's about loving others. It's about sacrifice. It's about bringing others to God and showing them who God is and what love truly is. And so just as we've said with all of the other things, they must see Jesus. Our children must see Jesus in us first. They must see service in us. If we hope to see Jesus in our kids one day, they have to see it in us. I want you to think about this. I think this is probably true. Parents probably affect the church and the spread of the gospel more than preachers, elders, or any other. Parents, you don't think you matter in the kingdom of God? You matter. You probably matter much more than I do in my role as an evangelist, than others do in their roles as elders of the kingdom. Those are important roles. But it's parents often that lead children into becoming evangelists and elders and those that serve and go out and preach the gospel and become servants of the church. You matter a great deal to God and to His people. And so we need to follow in God's footsteps and provide for our children's needs. Most importantly, their spiritual needs. We need to protect them from evil. And we need to teach them to be servants, as He has taught us by His own example. God is truly the model Father. And we need to think about Him and follow in His footsteps as fathers. But again, as we said this morning, This lesson teaches us that to turn away from such a loving father, it doesn't make any sense. Our physical parents do not love us as much as God loves us. And no one has given up more for us than what God, our Creator, has given up for us. But God said, if you sin against me, I cannot have a relationship with you. But He gave up everything so that we could have a relationship with Him. We could be forgiven and be brought back into a relationship with Him. If you are not in a relationship with your Father, you can do that tonight by coming to Him through the Son, through Jesus Christ, through His death, by being baptized into His death and being raised to walk to newness of life. And if you already are a child of God and you're not living faithful to Him, come back to your Father, and like the prodigal, He will have open arms. But you must repent of your sins and commit yourself to Him. If we can help you do that tonight, we encourage you to do that as we sing the song that's been selected.